features, well, he's played by, I've forgotten what his name is, but Finn Balor's the guy who initially started all of this, and he's not undercover anymore, but it was actually a podcast with him. And it's sort of like, when I start off, I'm like, wow, what is this? It's like full on, because he was talking about how he was undercover, and he's got all different
aliases
as well, and different things as well. So he's got Hollywood makeup artists who work with him to do his cover and everything as well.
Right.
So it's pretty deep, eh? Yeah. On that note, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, welcome.
Just change gears there.
Yeah. Let's segue just a little and let's introduce who's on the mic. So I'll go around the room. I've got Esther on my right.
Yes, it is I.
Hi, Kent. How you going?
Yeah, good. Next. Mark, how are you?
Yeah, good. Going well. Kent's sitting opposite me. And I'm going to go jump our guest just for a second. I'll introduce him in a moment. And then we'll jump around to Josiah. How you going?
I'm good. Yeah. How you
doing? JB in the house.
Jay Bizzle.
Jay Bizzle. And the Hizzle.
On the Mizzle.
Yeah.
And I'd like to introduce our guest, Luke, who's joined us on the podcast.
Luke Collis.
What's up?
Yeah. Did I say that right?
Yeah, bro.
Collis? Yeah. Collis. Luke Collis.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, so yeah. Luke's joined us. Well, I don't know if he knows what he's in for, but
not really.
You know, it's going to be a lot of fun tonight.
Yeah.
Today. So.
Harder.
Yeah. No, it'll be good. We were just talking about Sound of Freedom earlier, and what a great movie that is. If you get a chance, or you're old enough to go, you should go and support that. That's what I think, me personally. So
yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely get along and see it while it's in cinemas. Best thing you can do.
Yeah,
yeah.
The only thing with that movie is it will leave you to, okay, what do I do now?
It's good.
What do I do now?
And so, if you're feeling like that, then just watch the special message at the end of the movie, and then you'll realize you've already done something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've made a start to that. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's a good hook. That's, you know.
Yeah.
Go
there
see
is
it.
A special mesh.
Special. For special people.
Special message at the end.
It's like saying Irish wristwatch.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah,
I always think back to seashells on the seashore, you know. When you're a New Zealander, it's very hard to move your mouth that much. Yes. We don't really move it that much, you know. Just keep it really shut like this.
Yeah. Mumble it all together and you'll be right.
Did you ever see that chewing gum ad with that tennis player?
Oh.
And she was from Australia, though, so it sounded worse. So she's like, oh, Brooklyn's chewing gum.
Oh, was her name Liz Smiley or something?
Yeah, Liz Smiley
like
or something. It's a terrible ad. Yeah. Well, not your chewing gum on the tennis court. She didn't open her mouth and all articulate.
It's got a great taste. It really lasts. Anyway, showing our age there, bro.
I don't know. If you're into that marketing and media thing, it's just, I think it's
amazing
timeless,
how powerful it is.
Yeah. Timeless ads in there.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. Really good. Luke, tell us about yourself. What do you do? And share maybe some about your family and just give us an idea of who you are and
man,
what you're about.
Shorter list might be what you don't do.
What I don't do?
Yeah. No. Tell us what you do. Tell
I'm pretty keen to give everything a go, bro.
Yeah.
But yeah, married to Jess. We've got four kids. Libby, Corbin, Camille, and Joshua Squashua, that's his nickname. And
how old are they, bro? The kids?
Oh, mate. Okay, so Libby is 10, Corbin is 9, Camille is 6, and Joshy is 2.
Oh, well done. We need an applause for that in the studio.
Bro, it's hard, man, because they change every year, bro.
Every year.
I want some birth certificates. I want to know.
You can make no way to verify that.
Yeah. We're clapping like you did something, but we got no.
He was looking up and to the left, which is a sign of not
recalling.
Telling
the truth. Well, bro, like my stag do, eh? One of the questions was, hey, what is Jess's birth date?
Oh. Oops.
I didn't know it.
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't know it.
Right.
So I had to get my armpits waxed.
And, she's
it was bad, bro.
Yeah, that would be
because
bad.
Because they didn't shave it beforehand.
You're not supposed to, are you?
I feel like
I think. You know, you're meant to trim it.
No, just
I think.
Wax it up. You're just weak.
I don't think the waxing so much as when the growth comes back.
No, well,
Mike, how do you know itchy or something?
Yeah, they get itchy, yeah.
No, man, because it didn't rip. Like, they pulled it, and it didn't rip, oh. You know, and it was bad.
The low and slow, did they? Oh.
I pulled it hard, but it...
Oh, mate.
It's stuck.
I feel for you. They're probably using cheap wax,
how far out was the stag do from the wedding?
It was a blur, you know. It's a few years ago.
Was it time for regrowth or no? Did they actually get it done?
No, they didn't really get it done, bro. They just pulled it like 3 or 4 times, and my hair was too strong.
Yeah.
They just couldn't rip it out, bro.
Well, you have man hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, yeah, the kids and married. How long have you been married to Jess for?
Oh, I mean, how long has that been? 12 years, bro. Mm. 12 years.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
It's mean.
Awesome.
So, married to Jess. We live...
What was her maiden name?
Porter.
Oh,
Jess. Yeah, so she's a local to the Hawke's Bay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does she own that?
So I met her in the
You're not really any nah,
relation. No, so I actually lived in Hawke's Bay before we moved to the Waikato.
All right.
So for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then we moved to the Waikato and then moved back here.
Nice.
And so, yeah. Yeah.
Real good.
That's cool.
What
do you do for a crust or...
Yeah, bro. I do it not so much for the crust. I do it for the passion, and that is I lead a Christian youth ministry called Unashamed.
Oh.
Yeah, and the heartbeat behind that, or the vision statement, is every young person in Aotearoa reach with the message of Jesus.
It's good.
Nice.
Wow. And that's not like pie in the sky. Like, we... are hungry to see that take shape because it needs to take shape.
Yeah,
like,
well, once you've been on the AO podcast, bro,
doors are going to start opening.
You know,
yeah. We got connections. We've got
reach, bro. Yeah,
that's the one. Next time I'll be getting a call from Joe Rogan. Or something. Yeah.
Yeah. My mum's going to hear it in her coffee group.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, so, massive, bro. That's such a good vision.
Yeah,
it's great.
So how does that play out? So what does that look like in the way of how you working that vision through?
Sure, bro. Yeah. So so 3 key ways. Number 1, social media.
True.
We do quite a bit of stuff over social media. That's number 1. Number 2, training. Raising young, if we're going to see this young, this generation reach, we've got to raise up Christian young people to get out there and reach their friends and whānau.
That's it's true.
And thirdly, we run combined outreach events throughout the country.
Okay.
And so that kind of, it started in the Waikato. It actually started from quite a powerful move of God in a little town called Narua Wahia. You guys even
know where that is?
Yeah. Used to pass through there on the main road. Eh?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Well, we found ourselves living there
as well.
Yep, that's the CYC. I was on the board for CYC for a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, like God just did some incredible things in Narua Wahia. Group of young adults started gathering down at the skate park, hanging out with young people.
Well, better place to gather.
Bro,
skate park.
Hard out.
Yeah.
And we'd like crank the sausage sizzle, skate with these young people, share Jesus, play games.
Yeah.
And young people started coming to know Christ.
Mm. So good.
Yeah. And what, like, it dawned on me, these young people were hungry as they had just never heard. You know, like, let that sink in. They had never heard. You know, I mean, they probably the most they'd heard is maybe Jesus was born on Easter and died on Christmas or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they didn't know that he...
Really?
Well, they didn't know that he was alive, that he was real, that, you know, why he died.
Mm.
And when that message was communicated and they saw the reality of God, they were hungry and they were open.
Mm. So good.
And during that time, God really birthed that vision to see the gospel go forth like never before.
Yeah.
And, we ran our first event, like 20 partner and youth groups in the Waikato.
Wow.
And the hunger was huge. Mm. And that opened doors for future events and then Tauranga and then Whanganui. And it just yeah, a whole bunch of other places. So, yeah, that's Unashamed.
Cool. Oh, that's amazing. Do you have any stories of, like, you're just sharing about people who had not known about Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you have any stories or anything that stands out that, like, you know, with maybe some of the young people you dealt with, you know, just any miracle stories or anything around there that just kind of like, I'm sure you got heaps, but is there anything that just pops out for you?
So, yeah, I'm just thinking, bro, there's so many. Like, we found ourselves in Morrinsville, gearing up for Morrinsville. I get this message from the local youth pastor, and she's like, Luke, your guy's timing couldn't be better. You wouldn't believe what's going on. I said, what's going on? She said, we a month ago, we had a suicide. Young person took his life. Sent shockwaves throughout the community. This young person was at high school, you know. And then she said, a month later, his brother just took his life. Family lost two kids in under a month. And as a result, other people were attempting. And she said, our young people need hope. Bro, like, preaching the gospel from a stage, young people hungry, giving their lives to Jesus in number, bro. Had the head boy of the local school weeping on my shoulder, giving his life to Christ, and saying, thank you. And I'm like, bro, no, thank Jesus. Like, yeah, bro, there's power in the gospel message, eh? And so, I mean, that's just one. I remember another time I was actually out on the street sharing at a bus stop before an Unashamed event. And I was sharing about Jesus, and there was actually a group of about 20 young people. And they were just engaged, asking questions. It was mean. And then suddenly this other girl turns up and she starts to kind of listen, and she turns to one of the other students and she's like, what's this guy saying? And the other student goes, he's sharing about Jesus. She listened for a little bit and she's like, I don't want to hear this religious garbage. And she turned around and went to take off. And then it was like the Holy Spirit just... told me, Luke, chase after her. And I said, excuse me, you come back here. And it was quite like demanding. And I was like, what? I cannot believe that came out of my mouth. Like, what on earth? And she turned around, like, and she turned around and she came back. And she was like, yeah. And I said, why did you just respond that way? She said, she says, I'm bisexual. Your God hates me and wants to send me to hell. And then suddenly it was like the Holy Spirit took hold of my heart in that moment. And it was like God had put one drop of his ocean of love in my heart for her. And I just began to weep, like, out on the street. And I said, you don't understand. Like, legit, you do not understand. If only you knew. If only you knew the ocean of love that God has for you, you would run to him and he would accept you with open arms, but he won't leave you where you are. And then I began to, like, preach the gospel. I said, God is not no distant, like, religious figure locked up in some ancient book. He's alive. He rose from the dead. And it's just like God anointed my words. And as I'm sharing, she's beginning to tear up. And everybody's like looking like, whoa, like, the things have just, you know. And then she said, I got to stop you. I'm so sorry. I'm about to miss my bus. But I know that what you're saying is real. She says, I got to explain why. I've spent the whole day chatting to my friend in school, in WinTech, about this. They've been sharing all this exact same stuff. And then you come to me and you share this. I know this is real. And it's just like, and she's crying. She comes up to me, gives me this big hug. And then she takes off. And then... everybody's like, what? She's gone from your God hates me and wants to send me to hell, you know, to I know this is real.
So good.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I had this amazing opportunity to share Jesus with all these students.
Yeah.
And then invite them to an unashamed event.
Yeah.
And I just finished preaching the gospel, calling young people to place their trust in Jesus. And there are a whole bunch of these young people who were at the bus stop.
Yeah.
And are now tearing up, giving their life to Jesus.
So good.
And that was just like, I could tell story after story, but it's just, I mean, when the gospel is preached, young people come to faith. Anybody comes to faith, you know. I mean, so I think I just want to make the statement. I think it was Billy Graham said that on average, somebody hears the gospel about 7 times before they give their lives to Christ. Sometimes we're only one of those times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But,
true, bro. That's so good.
But
that's amazing.
Great.
Yeah. So that's why we've got Luke on the podcast.
Oh, bro, it's cool to be here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with that, do you partner with local churches to do that? So what does that kind of look like? Because I'm going somewhere with this.
That's good. So essentially what we do is we connect with youth ministries and we're like, guys, like, what would it take to reach the young people in our city? We've got so and so, you know, how many thousand young people?
Yeah.
Like, how do we actually reach them? Because the majority of Christians become Christians at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's funny because most mission efforts don't go to that demographic, but the majority of Christians become Christians. I think it's, you know, the younger you get, the more it is. But so essentially, what we do is we grab a whole bunch of young youth groups, we pull them all together, and we go, "Come on, guys, let's reach our city."
Right.
And so, invite your unbelieving friends. Let's run something where the gospel can be communicated really creatively. So guys, why don't you like run a drama and let's do it really well. And then you've got like a real talent in the creative arts and say spoken word. Let's utilize that.
Yeah.
Share part of who Jesus is. You've got a powerful testimony. Share that. We pull these young people together. And then we run this creative event. And the idea is that it's not just that we're running it all over the show, but it's also sparking that desire for them to run more outreach events. Because 'cause we've got to see more of that. And back in the day, I reckon there was more of that sort of stuff happening. But what we're seeing.
When you say back in the day, what are you?
Well, bro, like I think we've talked a little bit about it this one time.
Yeah.
Like I hear about this thing called Youth for Christ back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. That was massive.
And they're like full on, like, you know, reaching young people, sharing Jesus. But the, you know, when I was growing up, there was nothing really like that. And so I've never really experienced that.
How old are you now, Luke, if that might
ask? 32.
32.
Oh, bro, such a good age. 32.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, yeah, such a good age.
Yeah.
Because you've got a bit of knowledge and you're still strong.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, you're knowledgeable, more knowledgeable than in your 20s.
Yeah.
You're strong in your 20s. You just didn't know anything. No offense, Josiah.
Right. The sooner or later you get older and you realize the more you know, the more you don't know.
Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah.
Well, that's a line my parents always used on me. They were like, when I was in my teenagers, my parents didn't know anything. By the time I was in my 20s, I was surprised how much I learned.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That's true.
Yeah. Good times.
It's good.
So going back to just picking up again, so so you're the one that reaches out to the churches and the youth group, like youth ministries and stuff, to go, hey, we're coming through, or have they reached out to you?
Oh, but yeah, we've had some reach out to us, and sometimes actually just lately we've been running a smaller stuff actually too, so it's not just full citywide outreach events,
right?
Which is what we've traditionally done. But just lately, because of my capacity at the moment, I've been running smaller gatherings just this year with a couple of different youth groups, like together. They'll combine.
Mm.
And they've asked me, they're like, hey, how about we, you know, I'm like, yeah, come on, let's do this, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was just up in the Waikato a couple of weeks ago. A couple of youth groups keen to run an outreach.
Mm.
Brought, you know, a whole bunch of young people turn up, many of which didn't know Jesus, had full on encounters with Jesus. Praise God.
Mm. That's so cool.
Gave their lives to Christ.
Mm.
So yeah, I mean, that's the first step of a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
But it's the first step, you know.
So
do you help with the, so like when people obviously get saved and things, do you help with the discipleship process with that and talk to the kind of churches and youth ministries about next steps?
Yeah, man.
Or is that definitely where the training, where you talked about training as part of Unashamed, is that where you insert that part as well? Yeah. So we're
quite intentional when it comes to that, and we talk through with the youth groups what, you know, like where to from here.
Mm.
I think that's really important, and we look to follow them up. So essentially, what happens is we've got like this card that they fill in with all their details, and then we do our best to link them in with the local church community so that they can be discipled. We're not the local church, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We look to partner with local churches so that these young people can just flourish and get discipled. Beauty is if a young person comes to faith in an outreach that we've partnered with youth groups to run, generally it's because a Christian young person have invited their unbelieving friend along.
Right.
And the beauty of that is that they will take responsibility for that unbelieving friend. Because it's like, oh, my friend came to know Jesus.
Yeah.
Mean. Fantastic. Come along to youth group, bro. And then they begin to grow and develop.
Yeah.
But the discipleship process, that's on, and how good that goes, that's on the local church.
Mm. Yeah.
And some will do, you know, better than others. But yeah, for us, like, we can't do everything, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. But I think too, it's kind of cool with what you're doing is you're obviously reaching people that don't know Jesus, but at the same time, you are mobilizing youth ministries and churches to reach. It's like you're coming in with a steroids injection almost, you know what I mean? Yeah, you're mobilizing them to go, hey, you know, you can reach your friend and this is how we're going to do it. And, you know, or we can reach a town or a city.
You're like your tag team in the process. Like, look, if we can get them in the door and get them ready, can you sustain this? And it's, you know, instead of having to do the whole thing alone, you've done the hard yards. You've got the ball rolling and they can continue that. Yeah.
And you can replicate something that you've seen. But if you haven't seen it, it's a bit hard to replicate, you know. But, you know, we've seen youth groups go, this was cool. Hey, let's run one, so maybe on a smaller scale, but let's run one in our community.
Mm.
And then bang, you know, they've seen people come to know Jesus. The youth pastor's like amping, you know, because now, you know, so it's cool.
That's awesome.
So good.
Have you guys got any questions? I just feel like I'm like doing the questions, so I'm kind of making sure that I'm not just ruling the roost here, you know what I mean? So
yeah, well, you have really taken over, mate.
My curiosity gets the better of me.
But we're going to form a union.
it's awesome, mate. So good. Yeah. So how long's how long has Unashamed Youth been running at the moment?
Bro, COVID was weird, eh? Mm. It was a weird time to run a youth ministry that predominantly ran large-scale events, you know?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you kind of know the feeling, eh? Because
so it was weird on so many. We've talked about a lot of the weird stuff, bro, about it. And we're always keen for a good conversation about
it. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not shy.
It's a can of worms. You don't want to quite open. Just
yeah, no, we love it. I reckon. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, you're trying to run it in COVID, and
yeah. But going back, 2016, God put the dream on our heart. Started off really quite slow because I think it's 2017 we ran our first big outreach event in the Waikato.
Yeah,
and then 2018. Another one in the Waikato and also another one in Tauranga.
Mm.
2019. When did COVID hit?
2020.
Yeah. So 2019, we ran Hamilton, Tauranga, Ngarawawahia, Morrinsville. And then 2020, we still ran some smaller towns, because we obviously larger town during that time is tough, but we Wanganui, every single youth group in the city came along.
Cool. Really?
Yep.
That's cool for Wanga. So that's,
yeah, it was mean. And what was difficult is it was like limited to 100 people.
Yeah, it was.
Mm. So we had massive barrier arms straight through the middle of the venue with two separate toilets and then like a third overflow venue. And so we could fit 300.
You just got to start double counting and just like, oh, yeah, there's one. Yeah, we're at 100.
Those guys are glad together. Yeah, that's one.
No, they keep moving around. I can't get a count. There's 100 in here, yeah.
So that was quite cool,
that's
actually.
That's a smart way of doing it.
Yeah, well, we checked with, you know, the authorities.
Because were you outside for that? Or?
No, bro, it was inside.
Yeah.
But two big barrier arms down the centre of the room.
Yeah.
And so that was considered two venues. So
right. Yeah,
the church kind of worked all that out. We just turned up, you know.
Yeah.
But they made sure that was all legit.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like, I mean, then COVID has just been a bit, it's been a bit tricky since, you know. But I've just been continuing to preach and preach the gospel, and actually some insane opportunities have come up.
Yeah.
To share Jesus through a very difficult time, I think, in history and also in the history of, you know, our nation.
Yeah.
Mm. And so as much as it's been like a bit of a strange time for Unashamed, like, it's been a cool time for Jesus touching hearts.
Mm. Man.
So yeah, we're looking in at Christchurch and again at the Waikato, Tauranga, and all those Whakatane. Yeah. We're looking at Whangarei. All these doors are opening.
That's so cool.
And,
that
it's,
sounds
it's
good.
Exciting. Yeah, man.
Sounds good.
Starting to wrap things up. Maybe even the Hawke's Bay, bro.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to make mahi in your own backyard, but you know. we're up for a
we've got it covered here.
Yeah, man.
We're up for some gigs.
Yeah.
I think Hawke's Bay has got a good thing going on with its combined youth events.
Oh, it's needed, man. It's me.
Yeah. Keep bro, building
Hawke's Bay. So I went away in 2017, India 2017 for university, and so I just left high school just out of youth, and coming back sort of 2022, the culture around like youth and church and the young people has changed so drastically. Like when I was in high school, it was like you couldn't talk about it, you just got absolutely ripped into. Just
Talk about what?
Oh, just Christianity, faith, you know.
Well,
I didn't hide it, like everyone knew, but you caught a lot of flack for it. But now, like, because I help run the youth group, and I see like kids talk to their friends, and their friends are actually receptive hearing the gospel.
I'll tell you one thing. You've got to be fast and loose with the truth.
You can't keep making the inside joke without everyone getting it.
No, it's an inside joke. It's so funny. Okay.
But, yeah, like, I've been blown away just how, like, hungry kids are to hear this sort of stuff. When I was in youth group, it was like we were talking before about the counterculture, and how now being a Christian is the counterculture. It's popular among the youth. You're sort of rebelling against the authority, you know, to be a Christian. There's an appeal there. But when I was in high school, you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had to beat people up.
break some knees for the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm from the south side of heaven.
Play Old Testament.
I lay hands on in the name of Jesus.
I think it's too rare at a point, you know, where we've normalized this is, I go to church, I have a relationship with Jesus. And I do that from week to week as well. And people I meet, they're like, we start talking about church. Oh, you don't go to church. And I kind of, not in a judgy way, but I'm like, that's really abnormal.
You're so weird.
And I don't mind putting that on people, you know, that's a bit odd, you don't go. And then I leave it at that, you know. And so I just, for me, I've normalized, I go to church, I have a relationship with Jesus, simple. It's easy. You
know? We had a new lady come to church, give her heart to the Lord. Yeah. And she said, we were good?
Was this the baptism week?
I've just got the cleaner here, so we'll just...
Oh, cleaner's here. Yeah. Didn't they want to come in and say hi?
Did they know Jesus?
Featuring on the AO podcast.
They know Jesus? Yeah. We've got a gig on here. So the cleaners are here. Anyway, what was I going
to
say?
You had a lady come to church, gave her heart to the Lord.
Had a lady come to church, gave her heart to the Lord, and she's, one of the things she said to Pania was, man, if I'd known church had a mosh pit, I would have come ages ago.
That's so good.
Which is kind of my point is that when what Mark was saying about church, what church, the word church means like, it can mean one thing for someone and mean something completely different for somebody else. So, there's a big difference there for so many people.
I'm an engineer. I work with engineers. So being a Christian is a rarity among those sorts of people.
Yes.
And so when you talk to them,
among the heathen,
You talk about like church, and it's clear that the concept they have is just like an old building you go and you sing some nice songs and you feel good about yourself and you get hope and yada, yada, yada.
Stained glass windows.
Yeah, basically.
Candles.
Yeah. And it's like they don't
priest.
Even like to explain the concept of church being like the body of Christ or, you know, the collection of people who believe in Christ as the, you know, the Lord and Savior. That just flies right over their heads. You know, the church isn't just the old building with the musty smelling seats and the old hymn books. It's, you know, it's the actual living body of Christ. And
it's a man's world, eh? The old church, because they only had hymn books.
No hair books.
What a
mate. That was good.
But yeah, mate, you are a dad. Don't need a test on that one.
I look laughed. He's a dad. Thanks, bro. Thanks for the support.
They got a support.
No, I don't get much on the podcast here. It's good having you on, bro. So, what about building wise, bro? You got some projects on the go, eh? Do you want to talk about those?
Oh, you talk about...
You can throw a hammer.
My own projects.
Well...
What do you mean, projects?
Well, your house. You just...
Oh, yeah.
Shifted a house on and...
You
swing a hammer.
Yeah.
Just like Jesus, you know, biblical. Carpenter, builder.
I'm actually loving
it. He's almost
like,
33.
So there's part of me that just needs to do physical labor. Like, if I wasn't doing what I was... You know, like doing, like when it comes to ministry, I'll probably just be a builder, you know.
Okay.
Something like that, you know.
Yeah, but good point, because we've talked a lot on previous podcasts about sort of health.
Yeah.
Like health in the ministry, health in the workplace, just sort of health in general. Eh?
Looking after your body.
So that's kind of what you're alluding to, isn't it? Like,
bro, you know, I sit down and have so many coffees in cafes, bro.
I've seen you, like, bro. Yeah. Before I knew you, bro, I would see you in the cafe.
And to begin with, it's regular. Like me.
Yeah.
You know, bro, I'm kind of like flash, bro. Like having all these, hooking up all these meetings and all this sort of stuff.
Man cannot live on caffeine alone.
No.
Yeah.
Bro, I had to, you know, I thought maybe, you know, maybe I'll take out all the milk from the so I'll go black coffee, And then that was just like I started, you know, having too many coffees and shaking a bit.
Yeah.
I just needed to get out, you know. I need to have the, like, you know, I love the ministry, love connecting with people and all that sort of stuff, but I got to get out and do physical stuff, you know.
Yeah.
We've got a block of land, relocated a house onto it. You know, I thought it'd be done. You know, we'd be in there in 2 months, bro. Here we are. Like,
famous last.
You know, like,
yeah.
It's been a mish, but at the same time, I've just, you know, I've really enjoyed being out there,
you know, even just having an opportunity, you know, it's, you know, I've come back from a big ministry trip and I'm felling a tree, bro.
Yeah,
you know,
nice.
You know, yeah. Like that is, you know, it is a good feeling.
Yeah.
Because that's how I rest.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so I'm loving that. Yeah. We, you know, we probably, you know, before Christmas, we're going to be into our house.
Yeah.
Which will be, it'll be a great base for the whole family.
Yeah, yeah.
We homeschool our kids, so having a bit of land is really helpful.
Mm, mate.
The kids run crazy. You know, I wouldn't, but like, I'm in the chicken coop one day. The first time I'm in there with the kids, and Libby goes, check this out. She's like, here, chuck, 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 chuck. And the chicken jumps up onto her arm and starts pecking food out of her hand, you know. Oh, I'm like, what on earth, you know. And it's just like the kids are just, they're loving rural life. Yeah. It is next level.
Good for the man.
My daughter, she said, Daddy, I had a nightmare. I said, what? She said, I had a nightmare that we moved back into town. You know, it was a nightmare for her. They're just flourishing, man. You know, and so the beauty is we homeschool, so we take our family on the road. I don't want to be one of those ministers who, you know, reaches the world for Jesus but loses his family.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and our you know, my dad most of the time did that really well. But I want to do it even better. You know, I want to stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us and before me. So my daughter has made the statement, Daddy, you know, you're spending a whole lot more time with us at the moment.
Yeah, you know? Good.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate. That's good. That's where it's at.
Yeah. Health, say, and family. When the home's a shambles, everything is a shambles.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get that right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Oh, mate. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, my wife just went to the salon today.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's been a while. Been a little bit poor hutter. But yeah, she came back like real happy, bro.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, man.
And I was like, yeah, it's kind of been too long, you know.
Yeah.
Because, so.
That's the one.
Good book stuff, the next bro. Trip.
Yeah.
Get so it right.
Good. So good.
Yeah. Real good.
Very cool. Just going to ask, just in regards to Unashamed, is, sorry.
Yeah, get on your mic,
getting,
bro.
Yeah. Pointed to here.
Bro, you think you're a professional. Yeah. You know this.
I know. Yeah. Sorry, everybody. How can people support Unashamed?
How can they unashamedly support Unashamed?
Yeah.
I'm on fire, Esther. Come on. Just like, you're just cracking up.
Yeah. A couple of different ways.
Back to you, Luke. Yeah.
He doesn't want to steal the spotlight or anything, you know.
So,
it's not called the Ken podcast tonight.
I think a better question is, how can we support you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, you know, I don't want to be super spiritual, but pray for us.
Mm.
Legit.
Mm.
Yeah.
If we believe genuinely that prayer works, then we'd do it more often.
Hard out.
So, you know,
only
we can honest. Pray for you.
Well done.
This is brilliant tonight. Yeah.
She hasn't said much,
but she's bringing out the gems.
Yeah.
The gold right there.
Man, that was a gem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pray for us. You know, I'm often, like, I'll preach in churches. Get this. I'll preach in churches and I won't face any like spiritual attack. And then we'll be leading up to an outreach event and it'll hurt.
Hit hard, eh?
Like, you know,
yeah.
And we've gotten to a stage now where we pray leading up to an outreach event.
Good, yeah.
And we're like, you know, the spiritual realm is so real. You know, God's really opened my eyes to that. And so prayer, because I think what, you know, our young, even when it comes to the suicide rate, I mean, I think some of what our young people are going through, it's you know, might be emotional and their environment. I think some of it's spiritual, and we need spiritual breakthrough.
Mm-hmm. So good.
So prayer that God would raise up more harvesters. This isn't just about Unashamed. We got to reach young people in our nation. We need more people rise, you know, coming at you, say, here I am, Lord, send me. I'm actually, you know, we're looking to build our team again. If somebody feels called to the mission field, I can't tell you it's going to be easy. But if you feel called to reach young people with the message of Jesus, you know, you might have some skills that Unashamed can use, whether on a voluntary basis or maybe part-time or full-time. So that would be super helpful. I would say if you're part of a youth group and you want to see people around you, you know, young people come to faith, get us in. You know, we'd love to encourage, edify, maybe run an outreach with you guys. I mean, there's the financial side too. Like events cost a lot, you know, like you guys know, you know. And like generally, we don't run them from church buildings. We run them from like school halls. And out on the street and places like that. So there's, you know, there's possible ways to give, which is a big need too. So, I mean, there's a few different ways there. But yeah.
Inspiring, bro.
Put it out there.
For anyone who's like maybe driving at the moment, what's your socials?
At Unashamed NZ.
Okay, cool. Nice and easy.
So, your Facebook, Instagram, YouTube.
Okay, cool. I'll chuck those in the show notes, but if you're driving or doing something where you're using your hands or concentration, you can website. Look that up later.
Yeah. Website too, www.unashamed.nz.
Cool. Nice, bro. You got all the branding and the domains and all hooked up, bro.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, marketing Mark is impressed.
thank you.
Well, you're not messing around, bro.
Yeah.
That's what it tells me, you know, purely from a, you know.
Bro, he drives a high-ace van. You still got that?
Bro.
The toaster gang. Yeah. You know,
should I tell the story of...
The high-ace?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah,
did I tell you?
I don't know. I don't think we got that far.
Bro,
we
caught
it up a couple of times.
So I'm touring around the nation, bro, carting all this gear and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Father, we need a van.
Oh, the van. Yeah, tell them about the van. Yeah.
And I'm like, God, will you... You know, and so I began to look for vans. We didn't have the money for a van. Get a message from a mate of mine, and he's like, "Hey, I feel like you're after some sort of resource." I said, "I know this is out of it, bro. We're looking for a van." I just don't hear back. Vans are expensive. You know? They're expensive.
Yeah, skyrocketed, man.
And I think, oh, you know, maybe it's just, you know, that was a big ask.
Yeah.
I just get back to the Waikato and I get a call from him. He says, "Hey, bro, come pick up your van."
Wow. Cool. Come on.
For reals.
Turn up. Black.
Yo.
Goes with the theme. High ace. It's
how,
just
how
like
long perfect. Ago was this? Just like recently.
Oh, this is like 2000, I think.
Oh yeah.
2000, yeah. Maybe it's 2000. It's not 2000.
I was going to say that's the year.
20 years ago. 23 years ago.
I'm like, wow.
Are you 10 years old?
Sorry, it's not. You're tired, bro.
he heard the spiritual calling young. Yeah. He was ready.
You didn't have a driver's license, but you were ready at 20.
2020.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool.
It may have been 19.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. Cool.
So God's good, eh?
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah. Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah.
Our provider.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool.
So good.
What we'll do is, I will just see if Kent's just shot out the door.
Got to see a man
right between
the
lines. I'll wait for, if he's got any questions, I'll wait for him. But so what we'll do is we'll add in the show notes if you want to give. If you want to check out their socials, make sure you go and like and say hi on their socials across the platforms. That would be really cool. And then also pray for these guys as well for Luke and Jess and his and Luke's family as well. That would be really cool. And yeah, do you have any more questions? I was just kind of winding up.
No.
No?
Can I?
No,
can I?
No further questions, Your Honour.
Can I put one more plug?
Yeah, cool.
Pull we the plug. We run this boot camp. Mm. Okay, it's only for those young people who are like, you know, really wanting to go hard after God.
Yeah.
And so generally we'll only choose like 10.
Right.
They apply.
So this is part of the training component?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Of Unashamed? Yeah.
And for 10 days during the school holidays, it's most of their school holiday break, you know. Mm. We pull them together as a team. You know, we look into freedom from sin. You know, some of those sorts of things. Really tackle like deliverance, that sort of stuff. How to have your quiet time.
Yeah.
How to share your story. How to communicate the gospel. And train them in really the basics of living for Jesus.
Cool.
Right. Prayer. Cool.
Yeah.
Seeking God. All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then train them in evangelism.
Right.
And for the next part, we just release them.
Yeah.
And so we take them, like, and they, you know, into areas where they can have opportunity to share Jesus.
Wow!
So we do outreach,
cool.
And I've seen people, young people, go from timid. You know, Tatiana, she came along, Māori girl from Huntley, came along timid as. She left on fire.
So good.
So much so, you know, she's preaching the gospel in front of 500 people at an outreach event that we were sharing. You know, just before I was about to get up to speak, I sensed the Holy Spirit say, no, get up, Tatiana.
Yeah.
She gets up there, preaches the gospel, tears rolling down her cheeks. Yeah. Holy Spirit empowered her. She'd encountered freedom. She was walking now in freedom from some stuff, you know, from her past. Mm-hmm. She now knew how to share her story. She knew how to communicate the gospel, and she communicated it boldly.
Mm.
And so, yeah, like I would say, if you're a young person, this would be an epic opportunity for you to really grow in your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And be released into the mission field as well. Mm. You know, whether, you know, I mean, doesn't always need to be a big event, but also into your school and into your family.
Mm. Where
your city.
Whereabouts do you guys do that?
So there's, we run these from different Christian camps from, you know, around the show.
Yeah.
But it's during the school holidays.
Mm. So it's like a week long kind of. Camp?
10 days.
Oh, 10 days.
10 days.
Oh, that's intense.
Bro, it is intense. Mm. Real intense.
If you're camping, it's going to be intense.
No, it's not camping. No, it's,
I thought I'd fire Kent, give Kent one, but he wasn't listening to
No, that's cool, bro. I think there needs to be a lot more like that, you know, just setting people on fire. So, because I know YWAM and Programs Fire, they kind of do all those sorts of things, but it's kind of very much overseas.
Yeah.
You know, and well, you know about it when they come visit because they're just amazing. Mm. But it's cool that you're doing something local. Locally in New Zealand, nationally. Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, and that'll be next year. Those camps.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, stay tuned for that. That'll be really awesome. Again, we will link everything up where Luke is in the show notes and be able to check that out there. And we'll look forward to, I would love to have you back on again and talk some more.
Sure, guys, for having me on.
Thanks for giving up the basketball night too.
Yeah. Oh, bro,
because you're a bit of a baller. How tall are you? You got some height going on there.
Oh yeah, bro. Yeah,
six.
I played a bit of ball back in the
2.
No, 6'4". Four.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan was 6'4", wasn't he?
Yeah, totally, bro.
I do have one more question before we finish up. When are you going to do something here in Hawke's Bay? When's that going to happen? Or do you have that in mind?
Next year. I reckon we should aim for early next year.
Okay.
See, we set a date during COVID twice, and COVID prevented it.
Yeah.
And all the youth groups, they were amping, they were ready to go. And then, you know, COVID hit.
Yeah.
It just was not doable.
Okay.
So I say, aiming for for early next year.
Yeah. Just got to hit that like and subscribe button on the Unashamed pages. Make sure you stay in tune with the upcoming dates.
Yeah, you've got Zoot plugging you now, mate. This is, this is contagious, mate.
Oh, I'm out.
That's really good.
It's me.
Yeah, no, that'll be cool. 2024.
Yeah, man, cool. It's still.
Yeah.
2024.
That's awesome. Nice.
With that, we will finish up the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We always value you guys that listen and take the time to listen and hear us. Yeah, have a good yarns. And if you want to get in touch, you can send us an email to marketall1.nz. And also check out our socials. I'll be talking all day. Check out all1.nz. And also Peak Vision Church as well. So you can just Google Peak Vision Church and you'll find our website. And if you're coming through, join us on a Sunday. We'd love to have you.
Yes, we would.
It'd be awesome. And you can also watch online too. So that's all on the website. Just search us up. It'd be great. Thanks, everyone. Yeah. And thank you, Luke, for joining us and taking the time. And, sorry, bro.
And Jess and the family as well. We can thank them.
Thank you
for coming out tonight, bro.
Giving up your time.
Appreciate it.
Cheers, guys.
All right. Awesome.
Cheers.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Oh, did you mic check me?
Hey?
Did you mic check me? I can kind of hear myself in there. Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, I did mic check.
Oh, you did mic
check. It's just the same as we did last time.
Ah, excellent.
Only person who's changed is Esther, but, you know, I've got his setting saved. Hello. Yo.
Yo.
We're good to go.
We're dinner first.
It's got to be in the after 8 o'clock to get the magic done, you know.
The deep and meaningful chats.
The deep and meaningful chats, yes.
Mate, riding the bike in today. So this morning it was hot. I'm going home, it was hot. And then I come back now and it's cold. You just feel the difference of the cold air.
Yeah.
It's like it's so much more peppier.
It's the density,
yeah.
Yeah.
I
got to start riding more at night.
What's her name?
Destiny.
No, the girl from Fast and Furious.
Not
Fast and Furious. Back to the Future. McFly, and he's like, "You are my density, destiny." He's got some notebook.
You remember the craziest movie lines sometimes, bro.
I feel like it comes with the territory of being a dad. You kind of.
Really?
No, but Kent's always had this unique thing to be able to just pick up movie lines. Like the other one you said the other day from Sound of Freedom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The cigar-smoking dude who looked really dodgy as, but he had but he was full on.
Yeah. When God tells you to do something, you don't hesitate. In a whiskey cigar-smoking voice.
Did you see that movie, bro?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah. I reckon, obviously it's a hard subject to sort of deal with and be confronted with, so that's obviously the difficult part of it. But I think the great part of it is the producing of the movie. Mm-hmm. Like I think they just nailed it, created so much tension in so many different scenes, and then there'd be just a little hint of kind of something funny, which a bit of laughter would kind of make you come up for air, and then you're back down again. You know, did you?
Nah, bro, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yeah, nah.
Is it still playing or is it done?
Still playing, I think. You got to go see it. I think even just to support the cause.
Yeah,
right.
That's what the guy says at the end. He says, if you're not sure what to do, just watching the movie will help support this cause. So
yeah, I haven't seen it either, but I want to ever since I saw the trailer and it had the line, "God's children up for sale." I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
That's I got to see this. There's something. Yeah.
Oh, mate, it's deeply moving. We took our youngest, who's just turned 16, to watch it, and I was a little worried, but I mean, people would watch worse on more graphic on things on their their platforms, Netflix or whatever. But they've done a good job of it being really raw, but not not leaving graphic scenes in your mind. So
right,
yeah, it's definitely worth seeing. 100%.
What's it about?
Child trafficking. Yeah. So it's produced by Angel Studios, who do The Chosen.
Oh, yeah.
Based on a true story. So there's a real character.
Yeah.
Do they produce it? Did they produce it? Because from what I understand, they actually approached a whole bunch of, I don't know, companies to...
Oh, maybe they didn't
to send it out.
They got the rights to it.
That's right, yeah. Because they approached, like, I think Netflix and a whole bunch of other...
Well, they had to buy it off Disney, so Disney had it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They were holding on to it.
Yeah, refused to do anything with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So maybe they didn't produce it, but it was well-produced. Amazing.
So they're distributors. So they're the... Is it, well, I don't know how it works.
Yeah, I don't know how it works either. Yeah.
Yeah. The reason why Disney didn't do anything with it is there were... There's talk that it was going to implicate people quite high up, that movie.
Wow.
I feel like that's a reason you should do it rather than should.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would make sense, especially from Disney, who, you know, specialise more so in doing really good kids' movies.
Yeah.
You'd think.
Yeah, you kind of want to protect the target market and not have them trafficked around the place.
You'd think. Yeah. It's funny because Tim Ballard, I actually saw on another podcast. I can't remember what it's... I can't think of what it's called. But I just happened to... He just happened to have this guy on.